Okay, Khafra, what we're trying to do is complete Simin Kufchav Aleph, thank you, to the best of our ability, and Kufchav Aleph Se'if Vav tells me if I have a metal keli, despite the fact that there's some Yishonim who assume the Chaim Yitzase Chaim Bekulei, but you can't be machshir the keli partially. You have to be machshir the entire keli. That's what the Ramah said. That's what the Mechaber says. Excuse me, the Ramah writes that if you only used some of the keli, so then hechshir miktzasa will help based on kibol o kach polto. Now, in the Torah, this issue is known as a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ram. That the Rashba tells me that I have to be machshir the entire keli. Since Chaim Miktzaseh Chaim Bekulei, the entire keli became treif, therefore I have to be machshir the entire keli. The Ran, however, tells me that no, the hechshir a miktzas of the keli helps as well. Now, if this is the pshat, that this machlokas between the Rashba and the Ram, and the Chora, this is the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, so the Lashon of the Ramah over here is very difficult, because the Ramah just writes that you can do Hechsher on the Mixus Keli based on Kibbolo Kach Polto, and that doesn't make any sense, because the Ramah should say a Yesh Omrim. The Ramah should say that I am arguing on the Mechaber. So, this is actually it's a problem. The Shach and the Taz and the Gra address this problem. The Gaon writes over here something to the effect of Shulchan Aruch ein shum hechre'a, that there is no hechre'a in the Shulchan Aruch how we paskin, meaning azoni. If I understand the Gaon correctly, the Mechaber over here is getting himself into a problem, because he's assuming Chaim b'miktzaso Chaim b'kulo, and then Yesh Lachgar if Hechsher b'miktzaso will also help. However, the Gaon notes that the Mechaber earlier, and we had this Mechaber in Sadi Dalet and in Sadi Ches, that we paskin that we don't say Chaim b'miktzaso Chaim b'kulo. So the Gaon is tining that the Ramah over here is just working with the opinion that we do not say Chaim b'miktzaso Chaim b'kulo, right? And the Mechaber over here is not really disagreeing, because the Mechaber over here is just naming on that according to those who do say Chaim b'miktzaso Chaim b'kulo. So what the Gaon is saying is that the discussion here in the Mechaber and the Ramah is not really the Machlokas Rashba and Ran, because all agree that if you say Chaim b'miktzaso Chaim b'kulo, you have to machshir the keli b'kulai. Nor vas, right? The Ramah over here is just going according to those opinions that we don't say Chaim b'miktzaso Chaim b'kulo. By the way, Elijah Kramer knew how to read. And right, he is saying that this is precisely the pshat in the Ramah. I think that's actually interesting. Now the Shach is in Sifkat and Tesazayin. The Shach tainas something different. You see, the Shach says that if you read the Mechaber slowly and carefully, the Mechaber says you have to be machshir the entire keli. But it could be that the Mechaber is talking about in an ofen that the entire keli became treif, not al yedei Chaim b'miktzaso Chaim b'kulei, but the entire keli became treif the way an entire keli becomes treif, let's say by bishul an entire keli. So says the Shach in Sifkat and Tezayin, that be'etzem there's a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran. And be'etzem the Mechaber is following the Rashba and the Ramah is following the Ran. However, the Ramah does not write a Lashon V'yesh Omrim. He does not write a Lashon that implies that he's arguing on the Mechaber, since it's entirely possible to read the words of the Mechaber in a way that the Mechaber is not disagreeing, meaning we could use, right, Rav Soloveitchik sometimes used to quote his grandfather, Rabbi Elia Prishner, who would speak about Reb Chaim, that mitzayin litvisha ivra, right? That if you have, like, Lithuanian Hebrew, sometimes you could dre yarum. You could say that maybe the Mechara doesn't really mean that, so that's why the Ramo doesn't write it as a Yeshua, even though Be'etzim, according to the Meshach, it's a machlokas. So, Hayotze, from this part, then I'll hear Ben Keen's Ha'ara, that both the Shach and the Gra are trying to touch up the Mechaber and Ramah and deal with the issue, how come the Ramah does not use a Lashon V'yesh Umrim, and they do it in two different directions, right? The Gra is just saying, oh, there's an algemeine machlokas, there's a general machlokas, whether I pass in Cham, Iksas, or Cham, Bekulo, and that's really the machlokas here, Mechaber and Ramah. And the Shach is saying, since you could dray the Lashon of the Mechaber, so that's why the Ramah does not say V'yesh Umrim. Mr. Ben Keen, Shlita.
Maybe a misunderstanding on the Ramah or the Gra. I also don't have it in front of me, which is maybe a mistake. But doesn't the Ramah say that the reason this type of hasher works is because Kibbol Kachbol?
Yeah.
So wouldn't that imply that he does think that it becomes trait because
again?
I mean, the
Ramah. One second. Kibol Okach Polto might mean, and I think the guy is understanding it, that since the Keli was only by Leah b'Mikzasa, because we don't say Cham Mikzasa Cham Bekulai, so therefore I could be Machsheret b'Mikzasa, because I don't say Cham Mikzasa Cham Bekulai.
It doesn't mean that, like, in the same way that it only became true.
Correct.
Because it
right. In other words, the guy is also using Litvisha Ivra. Right, he's also reading now. The Taz is bothered by the problem in the Ramah. How come the Ramah does not use a lashon v'yesh omrim? But unlike the Shach and the Gra, who try to infer what the Ramah means, the Taz basically says the entire Ramah is rejected. We don't paskin that way. How could anyone ever think that hechsher b'miktzas helps? It's a shayla on the da'iraisa, you have to be machmir, and the Ramah is just wrong. Right? Now, this is already, I think, for those of you who are interested in the methodology of how halacha works, I think this is really consistent that the Taz views himself less as a mefaresh on the Shulchan Aruch, more as a commentator on the Torah. So the Taz is here to paskin the shayla, he's not here to explain what the Ramah really means, and the Taz doesn't bother even trying to explain the Ramah. He points out there's a difficulty in the Ramah, and he says, oh, we don't paskin like the Ramah, and the Taz. No? Hello, halay hu. That's the way it is. Now, vaita. The Lashon of the Ramah is that Hechsher Mixas Hakili helps because of Kibol o Kach Polto. Now, there is some issue over here as to what the Torah exactly holds and what the Rush exactly holds. If you read the Shach in Sivkatin Yud Zayin, he's Marich on this Nakuda, because the Rush talks about if I buy a knife from a guy and only the tip of the knife was used to become really full-fledgedly treif. Right? Meaning, one of the issues that the Rishonim speak about, in a couple of minutes we'll discuss a three-way stira in Talmudic sources about how are you machshir knives. Right? Are you machshir a knife al yidei shifa / ne'itza? Are you machshir a knife al yidei hag'ala? Are you machshir a knife al yidei li'un? And one of the approaches that's found in Rishonim is that with the knife, I'm really worried that the tip of the knife is going to be used to flick a candle. The candles in their time were made out of chalev. If that's the case, the knife absorbed chalev al yedei ha'esh mamish, and that's why you need libun. Now the pashtus in the Rush is the Rush is therefore saying that, oh, the only way the knife would really need libun is the tip of the knife needs libun, and therefore libun on the tip of the knife suffices. If that's the case, So then the Rush would be Ran Dick, right? And that the Rush would be saying that you, the Rush is saying that Hechsher B'Miksas helps for the entire thing. And that's certainly one approach, and that seems to be the approach of the, that seems to be the way the conventional sources understood this Ramah, since the Ramah is coming from that Rush. However, the Shach, in Sivkatin Yud Zayin, basically, the Shach has a totally different read on Judaism, and the Shach over here pulls what we call a Shach. Pulling a Shach in the sense of that the in the Torah's Habayis, on page 74, you have a discussion in the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah in the Bedek Habayis, the Ra'ah Tainas, that fundamentally Ligun and Hag'ola work in different ways. Hag'ola extracts Isser. Libun does not extract Isser. Libun is Soreif Isser. If that's the case, that Libun is Soreif Esra Isser, so therefore, even if you hold that Hag'ola B'miksas HaKeli will help on the entire Keli, that's only Hag'ola, because Hag'ola is drawing the Isser out. Hag'ola is pulling the Isser away from the Keli, and therefore Hag'ola B'miksas can help for everything. Aber if I'm talking about Libun, so Libun for sure needs to be done on the entire Keli, because the Lumdus of Libun is entirely Anderish, is entirely different than the Lumdus of Hag'ola, since Libun is working with Sreifa B'mekomo. That's the Ra'az Cheshbin. The Shach, in pulling a Shach, basically says that not only does the Ra'ah hold this way, but he tries to shtup that into the Rush, Sof Avodah Zarah, the Rush that's quoted over here. And the Shach therefore says that when the Ramah paskins this way, the Ramah's pasuk, the Rush, he uses the Lashon of Kibol O Kaf Polto, which is Hag'ola Lashon, not Libun Lashon. And that's why it's going to help Bekulo. But Ayudei Libun, it won't help. And the Shach says that not only does the Rush and the Ra'ah hold this way, but the Tur also holds this way. And not only is it Rush and Tur and Ra'ah, but also that's what the Ramah, what the Ramah over here passes. Like, that's basically Judaism according to the Shach. Now, it's actually brilliant. And according to this, by the way, Lav Davka, is there a real machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, right? Because the Mechaber, when he says that you need to be matched the entire Keli Kenzai, he's talking about Ayudei Limun. And when the Ramah says that Hechsher B'Miksas will help, Kenzai, he's talking about Hag'ola. And therefore, on some level, Sifkatin Yud Zayin of the Shach would be so serious Sifkatin Tes Zayin of the Shach, because in Sifkatin Tes Zayin, the Shach was working very hard within the Ramah. How come he doesn't say Yesh Omer? So that's a shtickle problem in Shachland. Another shtickle problem that we have, and by the way, if you want to know the greatest amusement park to go to next Chol HaMoed, Shachland. I'm telling you, it rocks. Although you have to admit that you have to hold cup. Usually in amusement parks, you know, you can just have fun and you don't have to really concentrate. In Shachland, you really have to concentrate, but what can we do?
What's admission?
What?
What's admission?
The Mishnah?
The admission
part. Oh, the admission. The admission is getting into Olam Haba. All right. If you work to get into Olam Haba, then you can appreciate Shachland. I can't wait for Olam Haba. Like, I'm telling you, I'm going to go. My guess is that most people in Olam Haba are going to try to like get into Moshe Rabbeinu's shir. I'm going to go to the Shach's shir first. Right? And then maybe you can move up. Is that Kfira? I don't know. But that's my plan. Okay, Chevra. Now, by the way, I don't fully understand though what the Shach is saying, because the Shach is trying to infer the Rush, and the Rush is dealing with an issue of Libun on the knife tip, right? So, What, you're doing Liban, the knife became treif in the Liban dik away, and then you're going to cash it in the Hagala dik away? It's ma'od lo b'mashma that that's what's going on. That's taka the way the Shach is learning, however, and I think that is interesting. Now, this question that the Ra'ah addressed, and this Ra'ah seems to be the most accepted Mahalach and Rishonim, this approach that fundamentally Livon and Hag'olah are working in two different ways, or two different mechanisms by which they work, in Rabbi Eliyav HaKohen Sefer, page 704, and following, he has a diuk that the smack, right, assumes that Livon and Hag'olah work the same way. And even Livon works al yidei drawing the Isser out. Now, of course, potentially there are big nafgaminas for this, no? We just finished the Yantav called Pesach. Let's say I had this shiva one year, someone called me that they weren't planning on being home for Yantav, so they didn't kasher their kitchen before Pesach, and now it's Yantav, can they kasher their kitchen? So what's the answer? Sure you can. You can't do Hag'olah on Pesach, because Hag'olah works based on drawing the Isser out and making the Isser bottle. No? Now either bottle that the amount will come out in the Mayim, it's going to be bottle, or because there's so little Isser that remains in the Kele, it's going to be bottle into the Kele, assuming that things can become bottle in the Guf HaKele, like we spoke about in our youth. But Hag'olah works by drawing Isser out. So I can't do Hag'olah on Pesach, but I can do Libon on Pesach, no? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's the Pashtus. If, however, Libon also draws Isser out, rather than burning the Isser b'mkaymai, so then it's entirely possible that Libon will also not work on Pesach. Now, obviously, when you draw the Isser out, al yidei Libon, it's not going to be bottle in other stuff. But because there's no other stuff, there's no water, but you're drawing it out, it's going to be bottled in the Guf HaKeli, and there's no bittul on Pesach itself. So this other shita is potentially a chumra, it's potentially a kula in terms of the din of Chab and Mektasai Chab B'Kulai, the way the Ra'ah speaks about it, but it's potentially a chumra le'inyin the yantiv of Pesach, yes, sir.
What would be the advantage of Libun according to the Smach if they're working
the same? Right, so the advantage of Libun according to the Smach could be in one of two ways. Yesh la'ayin, whether something that absorbed al yidei ha'esh, does it penetrate to a deeper place than something that absorbed al yidei hot water? Right? If that's the case, so the advantage of Libun over Hag'olah is just the depth to which it penetrates. Alternatively, and this second Mahalach, Rabbi Eliyav HaKohen quotes, he doesn't actually connect it the way you're saying, but the second Mahalach, he says, he quotes him at Tzemach Tzedek, that the Tzemach Tzedek tainos that maybe something that invaded a keli directly ayidei ha'esh becomes like nidbak to the particles inside the keli. Something that penetrated the keli ayidei mayim is not nidbak to the particles in the keli, and that's why Hag'olah can get it out, right? But for Libun, because it's nidbak, so Hag'olah won't work to get it out because it's mamish. Again, conceptually, it's not the depth of the penetration, but it's the degree of the dibuk within the keli. Again, this is already, you know, like almost from Shimon Shkopish philosophy of halacha, that like blios are like these entities, and is the, but you know, for the chemistry majors among us, like you have these things in chemistry about certain particles attach themselves and certain particles float, right? So it does exist, even though it's not nir'eh la'ayin, both in the world of chemistry and in the world of bleels. Adkan, right? This ha'ara. Oh. So the discussion, the difference between libun and hag'ala, as presented in the ra'ah, has two nafgaminas so far. The kula dik nafgamina, or the nafgamina in terms of whether you have to do it bekulai, and the nafgamina le'inyan pesach, like we discussed, is a third potential nafgamina, which is, do I say kibol al kach polto ayyide libun? Let's say I have a keli that absorbed on a direct fire, but you know that it only got to 590 degrees. It only got to 650 degrees. Do you still need 750 or 850, the temperature that we assume Libun Chomer is? If the lumdus of Libun is Sarfo Bimkomo, so we could suggest that you mamish need that temperature. You mamish need the temperature that's considered H in Halacha. However, if you hold that Hag'ala and Libun operate in the same way, and they both remove an Isser, right? They're polite to the Isser. If that's the case, so if I know for sure that a Keli absorbed at X degree, even if it absorbed in a Libun sort of way, you can get it out at X degree. This is a big discussion in the poskim regarding how you kasher ovens, no? Hagoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein assume. Now again, part of the issue with ovens is the question as to how and if the oven actually got treif, because it's only absorbing ayyadei zeya in the worst case scenario. But naniach, that absorbing ayyadei zeya is ki'ilu, you're absorbing directly. And let's say naniach, even like the shita of the Ramami Panu that the Shach quoted, that like if you have a liquid that gets absorbed directly in, so then potentially you need libun. So Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that an oven needs real libun, even though I know my oven only got to 550, because the oven is set that it only gets to 550. Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that to kasher an oven, you need libun chamer, and you need to use a blowtorch and get it to Vesach Nisht 850. Right now, obviously, this could run the risk of destroying your oven, but that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes. The Minchas Yitzchak disagrees with Rav Moshe. Minchas Yitzchak says that we can say Kibol O Kapolto on Libun as well. And if I know an oven, in other words, fundamentally the oven absorbed treif directly because the Zeyas Ki'ilo, it absorbed directly, Ramami Panu land, whatever it is. But to kasher it, all I need is 550, because I know it didn't absorb more than 550. Meaning he is neming on, he's assuming that the lomdis of Libun is similar, or the same, as the lomdis of Hag'ala, and therefore you don't need Sarfo Bimkomo. If you need Sarfo Bimkomo, you gotta ratchet it up all the way to 850. Haloi Davarhu, that's gonna already be interesting. There's another question in terms of kashering ovens. Kli cheres, we don't kasher. Ovens are porcelain enamel, right? So that could be a problem. We know already we had the day of the Baal HaEter, the kasher cheres, gimel pa'amim, but the Gemara distinguishes between hesekoi mibefnim and hesekoi mibachutz, no? Since the, right, to be mamalayat with gecholim, if the hesekoi is mibefnim, so then you can mali b'gecholam to kasher it. If the hasekos mibachutz, you can't. Our ovens are pashtis haseko mibachutz, no? If it's haseko mibachutz, because you have the heating elements outside the oven, right? The ovens that you use to bake matzah are haseko mibifnim. You can mamish look into it. You see the fire, no? It's like Hansel and Gretel over there. You mamish see the fire. Right, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to nursery school. But the our standard ovens are Haseko Mibachutz. So that's a further problem in terms of kashering the oven. In other words, in theory, what I could do, I actually thought of doing this when we moved into our apartment. So my wife asked, what do you do about kashering the oven? So I said, I have a great einfall. I'll take charcoal, I'll fill up my oven, and I'll... Now, and I'll light it. Now there's a few problems. One problem is that you could actually kill yourself from the fumes. No? Think about it. We don't barbecue indoors for a reason. Right? Other problems is going to be the sake. Huh? It's not good. It would kasher your lungs in the sense of you need panim chadashos olakan. You need a new set of lungs, right? But okay. So these are some of the issues. Oh, okay. Let's go weiter. In Sif Zion, we encounter the dinim of hechsher. For a sakin. How do you kasher a knife? Now, the problem that the Rishonim address is, we mentioned a few minutes ago, the Gemara Sof of Avodah Zarah says you kasher a knife with shafa, right? That's what the Mishnah writes on Ayin Heyamah Beis. The Gemara on Ayin Vavamah Beis says you need ni'itza bekarka kasha. The way the Gemara has it in Avodah Zarah is that you need ni'itza yud pa'amim. The Yerushalmi is quoted by Tosfos and Ayin Vav Amud Beis that you don't need ni'itza yud pa'amim, begimel pa'amim sagi. By the way, someone should do a doctorate about which numbers in Shas are used as the exaggeration numbers. No? The Balei HaTosfos are coming from the Yerushalmi that the Iker Din is gimel pa'amim. Gimel pa'amim is a halachic number in terms like shtelling on the chazaka to change something. That's gimel. Eser pa'amim, according to the Balei HaTosfos, is an exception. It means do a bunch of ne'itzas. Sometimes you have 10 as the exaggeration number. Sometimes you have 100 as the exaggeration number. Sometimes in Shas you have 60 as the exaggeration number. Shitin rehute rohot lomote legavadim tzafra karav. Now, Gemara in Bava Kama says that 60 people will chase the guy who 60 people will chase after you, and if you eat breakfast, they won't be able to catch you. Right? So I think the Balei HaTosfos is the same. Bava Kama says that 60 is an exaggeration number. No? Shishim hema melochais. Right? In Shir HaShirim. Right? There are exaggeration numbers. In Shas, it's worth figuring out which numbers are exaggeration numbers. According to the Balei HaTosfos, right? Perhaps 10 is an exaggeration number. Nonetheless, l'halacha, yipaski, you need ni'itza eser pa'amim. The pashtus in the Rishonim, in the majority of Rishonim, is that when the Mishnah uses a lashon of shafa, shafa b'pashtus is that you put the knife into the knife sharpening machine, which is that you have like stones that you rub against the knife. So the lashon of shafa and lashon ni'itza b'karka, l'cha'era, one and the same. That's the pashtus in most Rishonim. Maimonides, however, disagrees with this pashtus approach. The Rambam says that shafa is a better form of hechsher than ni'itza. The Gemara on Ayin Vav Amud Beis says that ni'itza bekarka kasha helps if you do it eser pa'amim, each time in a different place, whatever it is, and if it's a knife that doesn't have gumais, then ni'itza helps. And then the Gemara Tain says that ni'itza only helps lach toch bo tzonein. To cut something that is cold, Rambam says, yeah, that's ni'itza, only helps for a tzonein. But shafa! If you put the knife in a mashchezes, it's going to even help for a dover that is cham. Now, this is already conceptually really interesting, no? Because, l'cha'ira, if the knife was b'leia al yedei chamin, and I'm going to use the knife, ayyadei chamin. So that means that if I'm taking my depth of penetration approach, so the knife l'cha'ora has real iser that penetrated into it in Gansen. How on earth can shifa, which l'cha'ora is just rubbing, how on earth could that help? So it removes the layer, but l'cha'ira, it's just like if I do irui, so it only gets kedei klipa, and the iser was embedded deeper into the keli, it's not going to help. How does shifa for the Rambam help? Yes, I scratch off the layers. How does shifa help? So I thought maybe what the Rambam means is azoi. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. Did any of you ever sharpen knives? My understanding is that when you sharpen a knife, ayudei the friction, the knife actually gets hot. Not like boiling, but Ken Zayin, for the Rambam, the reason why Shifa helps more than the Itza is it seems to me that the Itza Bekarka won't ever get hot, especially because you have to do it in 10 different places, right? It will cool down in between each one. By the way, do not try to do the Itza Bekarka Kasha. There's a guy who was in Yeshiva and Rabbi Wieder's here a number of years ago, Alon Meltzer. He's now the rabbi in Canberra, in Australia. I believe he cut off his thumb trying to do Ni'itza Bekarka Kasha. Don't do it, gentlemen. Bad idea. Or it could be that karka is too kasha. I think the lashon of the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis HaOrach is if you do Ni'itza Bekarka Kasha, don't use ground that's too soft. Don't you? Right? It's like Goldilocks. Right? It has to be just right. It has to be just the right. Just the right amount of koshi bikarka. Yes, sir.
In the desert, the ground will be hot enough that it actually makes a difference.
Oh, in the desert, the ground is hot.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Interesting. Maybe, but I think in Canaan Hadavarim, that would have to be specified. Unlike Shifa, which we like. Now, by the way, I'm assuming that Shifa means I use a mashkezos on the knife. Rashi has an opinion that Shifa only works. Rashi has an opinion that Shifa means that you just rub the knife with a smartet, no? With a rag. Now Rashi also interestingly says that when I speak about Shifa, I also have to do Hag'ala on the knife. Now, in other words, according to Rashi, and the Beis Yosef is saying this is true only according to that Daya in Rashi, that Shifa means rubbing it off. Right, so Rashi Rashi says you need Shifa and Ni'itza. Right? What that would mean is that Shifa is ripening it off to get the be'en, the shamnun is off the knife, and then Ni'itza apparently works as some sort of hechsher. It's really hard to know how this would work as a hechsher to really kasher the knife. This is especially problematic in the following way. The Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah speaks about how Shvar Malka brought an esrig, and Shvar Malka gives it to Bati after he cuts it with his knife, and Bati eats the esrig. Then when it comes to Reb Yehuda, Shvar Malka doesn't give the esrig directly to Reb Yehuda. He sticks it into the ground 10 times, and then he gives esrig. Then he cuts esrig and gives it to Reb Yehuda. So the Gemara tells us it's like a very funny exchange. The Gemara says, Bati Tainan, what's the matter? If Yehuda's Jewish and I'm not Jewish, how come you doing the Itza for him, not for me? So the Gemara has two approaches. One approach is, he says, oh, I know that Reb Yehuda's from, I don't know that you're from Bati. That's one approach in the Gemara. The other approach in the Gemara is that Shvar Malka turns to Bati and says, Bati, I know what you did last night. Apparently the night before, they sent some shvachos up to the apartments where they're staying, and Reb Yehuda says that this woman, who's not his wife, is not allowed to enter, and Bati took her in. Right? And that's an interesting thing, because even though we paskin in halacha that if I'm chashud for one area of din, I'm not chashud for something else, but the guy, Shvar Malka, King Shapur, right? King Shapur doesn't operate ayudei halacha, and he operates ayudei assumptions. That someone is lax in sexual morals is presumably not going to be machmir on eating the esrig that's cut with a knife. Okay, now atkan divrei ha-gemara. Now the Rashba understands from this gemara that that hu hadin ni'itza bikarka will help for davar charif. And I could do ni'itza esrapon bikarka, and I could then cut a tzinon with that knife. That's what the Rashba assumes. The Bukhar Shar is quoted in the Pisca Chuvah here, Sivkat and Tess. The Bukhar Shar says, no, it don't work like that. The Bukhar Shar Tainas, that, first of all, he says it doesn't make sense in Din. Because Ni'itza l'cha'ayre, he says, only gets off the surface level of the tarfis and the knife. But if the knife embedded more, and it's going to then go into a davar charif, so then the davar charif, you have to be chayshish, will absorb the kulay. Especially where machlokes mechaber amon sadivov, the davar charif is absorbing the kulay or not. If the knife had tarfis bekulay and it's gonna jet that tarfis out, so the itzar should not help. So the Bukhar Shar says, obviously, there are Rishonim who disagree with this Rashba, and they would say that when the Gemara speaks about Esrig, it doesn't mean that Esrig is a davar charif. Esrig is rather a partial charif, like what we saw in Sadivav Siftalif Nishabali Haleket, that we have this musag of partial charif, and Ken said that Esrig is partial charif. That's what the Bukhar Shar is assuming. Now, if what you were suggesting, that the ground is hot from the sun, or maybe the friction makes the knife hot, like we suggest with Ein Shifa, then perhaps you could assume that it will really help. But the Bukhar Shar, I think, has a very lundish and strong taina on the Psak in Shulchan Aruch that Ne'itza helps even for a davar charif. So Nachzor Levidan. Mechaber, passing like the Rambam, the Shifa helps the same as Hagola, really gets it out. The Ramah writes, no, Yadavka, the Ramah holds a Hashkaza will not help the same as Hagola. That's what the Ramah says. And Hashkaza is the same as Ne'itza, and it will only help Lachtuch Botsonain. Rather than lachtoch bo roseach, within the knives we have a three-way stira. You have the Gemara that says that Ne'itza says shifa helps. You have a Gemara in Chulin and Daf Ches that, like in half a line, that says you need libun, and the Gemara in Psachim says that you do it beroschen, which means haga'ola. So the Rishonim are bothered by this stira, and Nirlafianias Daiti, there are three basic mahalchim in Rishonim, but they are mispatseil in a number of different ways. You have the approach that the Gemara in Pesachim says Hag'ala helps because Chometz is Hetera Bola. That's something that we spoke about at length. That's the approach of Rabbi Nutam, at least one version of the Rabbi Nutam. The Rabbi Nutam also has an approach, and this is really found in the Rabbi Nutam as it's presented in Chulin and Daf Ches. The Rabbi Nutam, as it's presented both in Avodah Zarah Ayin Vav and in Pesachim Daf Lamed, puts this second approach together with the Hetera Bala approach. But the Rabbi Nutam in Chulin Daf Ches says a straight approach based on big knife versus little knife. Big knife, Libun. Little knife, Hag'ala. It doesn't matter Isser or Heter. Right, it doesn't matter. He's assuming maybe the chametz is perhaps isura bola. The Rivam says that, well, if it's used al yedei ha'or, you need libun. If it's not used al yedei ha'or, you need hag'ala. A big knife is used al yedei ha'or. A little knife isn't. But a little knife sometimes is Yusai Deha'ar, and then you have the machlokas about whether you follow Rov Tashmisho or not. Okay, I think I'm going to have to do this more tomorrow, because I'm not even at the beginning point of what I want to say here. So, Mirza Shem, tomorrow I want to finish these, look carefully, compare the Taisus in Pesachim to Taisus in Avodah Zarah to the Taisus in Chulin. Our dear beloved friend Megillah Sefer has a little essay on this. So I think if we're going to go back to tomorrow, maybe I'll say this tomorrow, and I decided just now that we'll do Kuf Chaf Beis a little bit tomorrow also, just to be Yotzei, and then next week in Mirza Hashem, we'll begin Simin Kuf, probably on Monday, just because I want guys to get into it a little bit before Shir, so we'll work like that. Okay, Chevra, you should have a wonderful, blessed, and marvelous day.